Well, good evening and welcome. It's February 25th, 2024, and the time is 19:55 hours Eastern Time. That's 2024, the year of the common era in which we're living. And Abraham's Day, we're going to talk about with regard to some more data today in the Crucible article. In chapter 7, paragraph 4, that Abraham's day was a time of drought over a large area of the earth, is demonstrated, the article goes on, by several other recent data. In Lake Castiglione, Italy, drier conditions are found from about 2200 to 1900 BCE. The years go backwards. The numbers go backwards in the BCE years, and a shift to a drier climate in the area of southeastern Europe is indicated by a transition in Iceland from, quote, birch and grassland vegetation to Arctic conditions in about 2150 BC, end quote. BC is the same as BCE. Now, 2150, that's the time of Abraham we're talking about right there, exactly. Like, that's his, he's 56 years old in that year. According to our chronology, those are just, that date, all of these dates in this paragraph are approximate. According to recent studies, 2150. For this drier climate beginning, and that's the time of the famine we're talking about, around 2131 when Abraham's 75 years old. Earlier, the work of Mr. Fekri Hassan discovered that 2200 BCE marked the largest climate event in 5,000 years, based on the record contained in the stalactites and stalagmites in a cave near Tel Aviv. And the work of Myra Bar Matthews of the Geological Survey of Israel, who found that near to 2200 BCE, there was a sudden drop in rainfall in that area. Tel Aviv is a coastal city in Israel, and the size of this decrease in rainfall was reported to have been around 20%. As far east as western Tibet, at Lake Samshi, the conditions of dry spells are seen, remarks Professor Fekri Hassan of the Institute of Archaeology, University College, London. Quote, the most tantalizing recent discovery, however, was made when scientists made a high-resolution study of dust deposition from Kaji Marum Oasis, in northeastern Nigeria. The study conclusively revealed that a pronounced shift in atmospheric circulation occurred in around 2150 BC. This data indicates that an abrupt, short-lived event of cold climate led to less rainfall and a reduction of water flow in a vast area extending from Tibet to Italy. This had catastrophic effects on such early state societies as the Egyptian Old Kingdom. Mr. Hassan confirmed the drought of 2200 to 2150 BCE in Egypt by drilling in the bed of Lake Fayum and found the water had dried up in the bed after having been 65 meters deep. That's the end of our study in the Crucible article for today, unless we come back to it and discuss it at the end. So we see that there's a remarkable amount of evidence that shows that the time that we date Abraham, during whose time the Bible tells us there was a famine in Canaan, which is also connected to the dry conditions in Egypt on occasion, as we've also studied in previous readings. So, but you know, it's not only that there's this, the dating of Abraham in our chronology. Let me start that over again. We've seen that there was a famine according to all this work. But in the Bible, first of all, there was a famine in the time of Abraham. And he went down to Egypt because of the famine. But the famine also affected Egypt, apparently. There is a connection, between the dry conditions of different parts of the world. There's rarely just a famine in one place. It's what that says. Or there often are connections between the different areas, and the famine in one place can be seen elsewhere as well. So if we can find a famine anywhere, in other words, it's proof that the famine of Abraham's time, which is dated according to our chronology, is the correct chronology. It's proven by the fact that there's other evidence for these famines, for the famine having been dated to the same time. There's other evidence, independent evidence. This independent evidence shows that there was a famine around the time when our chronology tells us Abraham lived. And the Bible tells us that there was a famine in Abraham's time. So it's complete correspondence. It's a perfect correspondence, which is something rather rare, to be able to confirm something that old as having been historically correct. It makes Abraham's day historical. It makes the chronology that we have in the genealogy for the time of Abraham historical. It makes it accurate. It shows that the dating is accurate because the famine is confirmed. That's what we're talking about in that paragraph today. That's all for the crucible, but Proverbs chapter 17 is our scripture for today, little ones. Proverbs 17 and 2. A servant that is showing insight will rule over the son who is acting shamefully. A servant that is showing insight will rule over the son who is acting shamefully. And in among the brothers, he will have a share of the inheritance. A servant that is showing insight will rule over the son who is acting shamefully. And in among the brothers, he will have a share of the inheritance. 1 Chronicles 15. And he continued building houses, David did, for himself in the city of David. And he went on to prepare a place for the ark of the true God and pitch a tent for it. It was then that David said, "No one is to carry the ark of the true God but the Levites, for they are the ones whom Jehovah has chosen to carry the ark of Jehovah, Yahweh." As we said, his name, the pronunciation of the divine name of Yahweh is not well known. In fact, the Jews never pronounced the name. At some point, they, because of their superstition, they began to no longer pronounce the name. Instead, they even today, the Jews today, they won't even say the name God or the word God. They say G-O-D instead of God. But because they stopped using the divine name, Yahweh, we don't know how it's pronounced. But it's possibly Jehovah. It's probably not Jehovah. That's just the English form that we have of it, or the German form, or whatever. It's close to those forms, and the French form is similar as well, and the Spanish form is similar to Jehovah. But Yahweh is probably closer to how the Jews originally, or God's people, pronounced it originally. And to minister to him to time indefinite. Then David congregated all Israel at Jerusalem to bring the ark of Jehovah up to its place that he had prepared for it. And David proceeded, together the sons of Aaron and the Levites of the sons of Kohath, Uriel, the chief and his brothers, 120, of the sons of Merari, Asaiah, the chief and his brothers, 220, of the sons of Gershom, Joel, the chief and his brothers, 130, of the sons of Elizaphan, Shemaiah, the chief and his brothers, 200, of the sons of Hebron, Eliel, the chief and his brothers, 80, of the sons of Uzziel, Aminadab, the chief and his brothers, 112. Furthermore, David called Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, and the Levites, Uriel, Asaiah, and Joel, Shemaiah, and Eliel, and Aminadab, and he went on to say to them, "You are the heads of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brothers, and you must bring the ark of Jehovah, the God of Israel, up to the place that I have prepared for it. Because at the first time you did not, Jehovah our God broke through against us, for we did not search after him according to the custom." So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of Jehovah, the God of Israel, Yahweh, the God of Israel. Then the sons of the Levites began to carry the ark of the true God, just as Moses had commanded by Yahweh's word, upon their shoulders with the rods upon them. David now said to the chiefs of the Levites to station their brothers, the singers, with the instruments of song, stringed instruments and harps and cymbals, playing aloud to cause a sound of rejoicing to arise. Accordingly, the Levites stationed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brothers Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and of the sons of Merari, their brothers, Ethan, the son of Cushaiah, and with them their brothers of the second division, Zechariah, Ben, and Jaaziel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Uni, Eliab, and Benaiah, and Maaseiah, or Maaseiah, I should say. Is it Maaseiah? I don't know how to pronounce Maaseiah or Maaseiah. Probably one of those. And Mattathiah and Eliphelehu and Micneah and Obed-Edom and Jael, the gatekeepers, and the singers Heman, Asaph, and Ethan with the copper cymbals to play aloud, and Zechariah, and Aziel and Shemiramoth and Jehiel and Uni and Eliab and Maaseiah and Benaiah with stringed instruments tuned to Alamoth, and Mattathiah and Eliphelehu and Micneah and Obed-Edom and Jael and Azaziah with harps tuned to Sheminith to act as directors, and Kenaniah the chief of the Levites in carrying, he giving instruction in carrying, for he was expert, and Berechiah and Elkanah the gatekeepers for the ark, and Shebaniah, and Joshaphat, and Nathanael, and Amasai, and Zechariah, and Benaiah, and Eliezer the priests, loudly sounding the trumpets before the ark of the true God, and Obed-Edom and Jehiah, the gatekeepers for the ark. And David and the older men of Israel and the chiefs of the thousands came to be the ones walking along to bring up the ark of the covenant of Jehovah from the house of Obed-Edom with rejoicing. And it came about when the true God helped the Levites while carrying the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, that they proceeded to sacrifice 7 young bulls and 7 rams. And David was dressed in a sleeveless coat of fine fabric, and also all the Levites carrying the Ark and the singers, and Kenaniah the chief of the carrying by the singers, but upon David there was an ephod of linen. And all the Israelites were bringing up the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah with joyful shouting, and with the sounding of the horn, and with trumpets and with cymbals playing aloud on stringed instruments and harps. And it came about, little children, when the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah came as far as the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter herself, looked down through the window and got to see King David skipping about and celebrating. And she began to despise him in her heart. That's the end of 1 Chronicles 15. It sort of speaks for itself. Hosea chapter 4. Hear the word of Jehovah, O sons of Israel. For Jehovah has a legal case with the inhabitants of the land. For there is no truth, nor loving kindness, nor knowledge of God in the land. There are the pronouncing of curses and practicing of deception and murdering and stealing and committing of adultery that have broken forth, and acts of bloodshed have touched other acts of bloodshed. That is why the land will mourn, and every inhabitant in it will have to fade away with the wild beast of the field and with the flying creature of the heavens, and even the fishes of the sea themselves will be gathered in death. However, let no man contend, neither let a man reprove, as your people are like those who are contending against a priest. And you will certainly stumble in the daytime, and even a prophet must stumble with you as at night. And I will put your mother to silence. My people will certainly be silenced because there is no knowledge, because the knowledge is what you yourself have rejected. I shall also reject you from serving as a priest to me. And because you keep forgetting the law of your God, I shall forget your sons, even I, in proportion to the multitude of them, so they have sinned against me. My own glory they have exchanged for mere dishonor. The sin of my people is what they keep devouring, and to their error they keep lifting up their soul. And it will have to become for the people the same as for the priest. And I shall certainly hold an accounting against them for their ways and their dealings. I shall bring back upon them, and they will actually eat but will not get satisfied. They will actually treat women as harlots, but they will not increase because they have left off paying regard to Jehovah, Yahweh himself. Fornication and wine and sweet wine are what take away good motive. Look at that. It shows right there that wine, even though we know some people do use it as a drink, a beverage, it says right here, verse 11 of Hosea chapter 4, fornication and wine and sweet wine are what take away good motive. That's a profound statement. Verse 11. Of their wooden idol my own people keep inquiring, and their own staff keeps telling them, because the very spirit of fornication has caused them to wander off, and by fornication they go out from under their God. On the tops of the mountains they sacrifice, and on the hills they make sacrificial smoke under massive tree and storax, tree and big tree, because its shade is good. That is why your daughters commit fornication, and your own daughters-in-law commit adultery. I shall not hold an accounting against your daughters. I shall not hold an accounting against your daughters because they commit fornication, and against your daughters-in-law because they commit adultery. For as to the men, it is with the harlots that they get off to themselves, and with the female temple prostitutes that they sacrifice. And a people that does not understand will be trodden down. A people that does not understand will be trodden down. Although you are committing fornication, O Israel, let not Judah become guilty. So he's preaching to Israel, but he's mentioning Judah. And do not, so Israel was the northern kingdom. As we said at the beginning of the study of Hosea, we thought probably he preached in the northern kingdom first, and then Judah secondarily. That's what it looks like here from verse 15. Let not Judah become guilty, and do not you people come to Gilgal, neither go up to Bethaven, nor swear, as Yahweh is alive. For like a stubborn cow, Israel has become stubborn. Is it now that Jehovah, either one is acceptable? Is it now that Yahweh will shepherd them like a young ram in a roomy place? That's an interesting illustration. Like a young ram in a roomy place. How would a shepherd shepherd a young ram in a roomy place. There'd be a lot of freedom for a young ram in a roomy place, wouldn't there? So there'd be minimal shepherding involved, it sounds like there. Ephraim is joined with idols. Ephraim was one of the sons of Joseph. We identified him in some of our articles as having been the pharaoh that was named Senusret III, who succeeded his father, whom we identified as Joseph also in those earlier articles, such as On, Joseph and On, that article, which came after the article Joseph. Ephraim is joined with idols. Let him be to himself. Their wheat beer being gone, in other words, they've been drinking, wheat beer also means liquor. Their liquor being gone, they have positively treated woman as a harlot. As a harlot, as a prostitute, as a whore. Her shielders have positively loved dishonor. Okay. Her shielders have positively loved dishonor. A wind has wrapped her up in its wings, and they will be ashamed of their sacrifices. So there's been no one to protect the women. Her protectors have been remiss in their duties, right? They haven't protected the women. They haven't shielded them from prostitution. And that was something Jehovah Yahweh, as we also call him, did not approve of. Here we see in the book of Hosea in chapter 4, and especially in verse 18 there. So that's it for the Bible study for today. And the video, we're essentially done, I guess, the video. But we're not quite run it. We haven't run out of time yet. We've got about 10 minutes. So it's good to get the reading done. Is it not? It's good to get that done, because every day that I don't read the Bible would be a day where I wouldn't be gaining more insight into the Bible. Let's take some time. Let's read some more of our Proverbs that we were reading yesterday, shall we? A wise woman, Proverbs 14:1. A wise woman builds up her house, every wise. The foolish one wrecks by her hands its demise. One fearing Jehovah may walk on upright, despising him those are who wayward take flight. Despising him those are who wayward take flight. The word of a fool is a prideful attack. The lips of the wise ones will surely hold back. The manger is cleaner when free of the bull, but great is the income that oxen can pull. A prince who is faithful is true as a die, but he who is false makes a life of a lie. A teacher in racking his brain nothing finds. A student may much learn from inferior minds. A student may much learn from inferior minds. Take leave of a fool, go from him, yes, depart. For you in his word will find no learned art. The wisdom of wise ones is knowing their way, but fraud is the folly of fools, as they say. A fool is the one who is mocking at guilt. The righteous delight when a man is upbuilt. The heart of a man is of trouble aware, and strangers will not in his joy have a share. We could also say the heart of a man of his pain is aware. But the reason I didn't do that is because there's a verse coming later that uses the word pain, and I didn't want to repeat the word pain. The house, verse 11, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown. The tent of the upright will sprout and be known. The way of a man, the way of a man, may he think to be just, but then at its end it is die as he must. As even in laughter the heart may know pain, so grief is the end to which mirth will attain. The faithless at heart sees the fruit of ill will. A good man will eat of good fruit to his fill. The foolish those are who believe idle talk. The prudent one is who looks after his walk. A wise man reveres and departs from a wrong. A fool rages on and in hope lingers long. The one quick to anger will foolishly deal, and hated are those who their plotting conceal. The trust of a fool is where folly is found, but knowledge will fully a wise one surround. To good ones the evil ones bow in the dust, and wicked ones kneel at the gates of the just. The poor man is hated by even a friend, but riches will many a man honor lend. The man who despises his neighbor is bad, while he who has mercy on poor folk is glad. Devisers of evil things err, do they not? While makers of good will have truth as their lot. The fruit of all labor is profit indeed. The word of the lip will result in a need. The crown of the wise ones is riches and more, while fools in their folly adore. Reliable witnesses truly do save, but lying ones blow their hot air to the grave. The fear of Jehovah is strength to endure. His children will hope in a place to be sure. The fear of Jehovah is life from a spring, that one may depart from a death-dealing thing. The honor of kings is in multitude grand, but princes will fail when no men are at hand. The one slow to anger is wise of a kind, but praised folly is by the hasty of mind. The life of the soul is a heart that is sound. In envious bones is where rot will be found. It slights your Creator from poor men to steal, and honor you him when with mercy you deal. The wicked is driven away in distress, but even in death hope the righteous to bless. His wisdom resides in the heart of the wise. The focus of fools will be known, they advise. And righteousness raises a nation on high, but people confronted with sin only sigh. A king will delight to his favor extend. To any wise servant he honor will lend. The passion of kings is an outburst of flame that rages at those disappointing for shame. And that is chapter 14 of Proverbs. Some quotes from which we read yesterday. That's the translation of yours truly. The rhyming translation of Proverbs chapter 14. I think I did Proverbs 13 as well. We've got about 4 minutes. Wow. So there's so much more we could read here. There are other verses. This is found on the Will of Jehovah main page. If you click on one of the two entries from that page, either Ecclesiastes or Micah. Where is it? Let's see. Where do we have this? Where was the main page? I'm looking for it. There it is. Okay. Yeah. If you look at the main page, too bright. If you look at the main page here, Will of Jehovah, you see there's the, these are the two verses that I've shown, or the two chapters, Micah, the book of Micah, and also, now the book of Micah is not translated with rhyming verse, because it's not that sort of, it's not a proverb, it's not a book of proverbs, so I didn't attempt to translate that as a rhyming verse format. But Ecclesiastes chapter 2, for example, that I did translate. And then there's Ecclesiastes 1. These were translated by myself in this rhyming poem format. The words of the preacher of David offspring, who was in Jerusalem, likewise the king. Of vanity vanities, preacher tells one. Of vanity vanities, vain, all is none. What profit a man in his all-troubled run, at which he is working hard under the sun? An age will be passing, the age that presides, the earth that is standing forever abides. The sun also rises, and as it goes down, it speeds to the place of its rising renown. The wind circles southward, it swirls to the north, returning by circles to ever go forth. The rivers run down, but the seas do not fill. From there they return, whence to trickle forth still. The whole matter tires one, so man can't arrange a satisfied eye or ear-hearing full strange. As that which has been is the thing which shall be, so what has been done is yet what we shall see. Is anything new, now of which one may say, it's new? No, it's not, since that time to this day. So that's all for today in our reading, because we're out of time. But this particular translation was modified August 4th, 2011, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 of the Ward Green version of the Bible, 2004. Modified 2011. So, thanks for being with me. It's been a pleasure to be with you. Again, it's February 25th, 2024 of the Common Era, and the time is 2027 hours Eastern Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you. And on my behalf, this is Live Dusty, and this is Cassie, and they're saying, bye for now.